Okay, now we're turning again to Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and verse 11. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But, see how it starts? B-U-T. It's a big word. That's a big word in Scripture. But Christ. Christ. The anointed of God as prophet, priest, and king. But the Lord Jesus Christ being come. Being come, sent of God, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. Now, underscore that in your mind. His own blood. He entered in once into the holy place. It's not the holy place made with hands. It's the holy place in the presence of God. When He by Himself purged our sin, where did He sit down? The throne of glory. By His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having, because He completed salvation, having obtained, delivered for our offenses, raised again because He did justify us, because He did accomplish salvation. He obtained for us, what does it say there? Eternal redemption. Salvation is eternal. The forgiveness of sin we enjoy as His people and the deliverance from sin we have is eternal. Eternal blessing. Now, throughout the book of Hebrews, the Lord Jesus Christ is set forth in the glory of His person. The glory of His person. Now, hold your place there and find Hebrews chapter 1. He set forth in the glory of His person, being made so much better than the angels. There's that key word again, better. Christ is better. Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory, that is God's glory, the express image of His person. Our Lord says, you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. I and My Father are one. Upholding all things by the word of His power. He's the all-powerful one because He's God. When He by Himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better. He is better. We see the glory of His person. He is God manifest in the flesh. We see the glory of His office. Prophet, priest, and king. He is the priest of God. The glory of His priesthood. 16 times in this book of Hebrews, it talks about the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read a few of them. Find Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. We, as sinners, need a high priest to represent us to God, who represents us with an offering that's acceptable to God. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Now, Hebrews 2:17, it says in verse 16, He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. He was a real man, identified with our flesh apart from sin. Wherefore, in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful, faithful high priest. He's near kin to us. He has a right to redeem us, being near kin. He's a faithful, merciful high priest in things pertaining to God to make atonement is the word there. Atonement for the sin of the people. It's a definite atonement. It's particular redemption. Just as that high priest of old, when he went in representing the tribes of Israel, for whom did he officiate? It wasn't the Philistines. It wasn't the Amalekites or the Jebusites or the Hittites or any otherites. It was Israel that he represented. So he made atonement for the sin of his people. That's particular redemption, definite atonement. We preach it and believe it heartily because the Scriptures teach it. Hebrews 3:1 talks about the high priesthood of Christ. Holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, we've been called out of darkness into life in Christ. Consider the apostle. The Lord Jesus Christ is one sent of God. That's what the word there means. He's the high priest of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I turn to another one. Talks about, and you could look these up, and I would encourage you to do so, but at least 16 times it talks about the priesthood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Seeing then we do. He officiated here for us, representing us here, but also in the presence of God. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Well, that's good news. John said, when you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Again, turn over to Hebrews 7, and we could read others. Verse 22, Hebrews 7, but so much was Jesus, that is the Savior, made a surety of a better, better covenant. And they truly were many priests under the law, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this one, he continues ever. There's no end to his priesthood. He's the eternal priest. He has an unchangeable priesthood, an everlasting priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for us. For such a high priest, verse 26, became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He had no sin, knew no sin. He's made higher than the heaven. This is our high priest. This is the good news of the gospel. We see in this book of Hebrews the glory of his person, the glory of his priesthood, and we also see the glory of his sacrifice. The glory of his sacrifice. When he offered one, notice verse 14 of Hebrews 10, for by one offering he perfected forever them. There's that definite atonement again. For those for whom he died with their sin, for by the one offering, they offered many sacrifices that never took away sin. He offered one sacrifice, and it put away the sin of his people forever. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. How perfect is his sacrifice? Look at verse 17. And their sins and iniquities, God says, will I remember no more. They're gone. He put away sin. That's what it says in Hebrews 9:26. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And my friend, the good news of the gospel is he didn't fail. He got the job done. Without the Lord Jesus Christ being the appointed high priest, bringing the appointed sacrifice, we have no remission for sin. Without Christ, there's no pardon of sin apart from Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Without the Lord Jesus Christ being sent and appointed of God with the appointed sacrifice, we'd have no pardon of sin. We'd have no righteousness that justifies us before God. And we'd have no hope. No hope of salvation apart from Christ crucified. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, I'm determined. To know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God in Christ is the sinner's high priest, mediator and surety, substitute that fulfilled everything that was given in that old covenant. The tabernacle itself is a picture of Christ. The priesthood itself is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. All those sacrifices of those substitutes who died under the law, the blood of bulls and goats, the burnt offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, all those offerings are all pictures of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the fulfillment of it all. Our Lord said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to honor the law of God. And that's what He did. He did that for His covenant people. Now look at Hebrews 9, verse 11. Christ being come. Now we pass from shadow to substance. We pass from shadow to reality. The law having a shadow of good things to come, but now the Lord Jesus Christ, He is come with, and He is the high priest with good things. He is all that is good. We pass from shadow to substance. The high priest, and notice it says there that Christ being come, a high priest, not a martyr, not an example, not a reformer, but a priest to represent us and to make atonement for His covenant people. Call His name the Lord Jesus. Call His name Jesus, Savior. He shall save His people from their sin. And that's the good things. See verse 11? That's the good things. You see, the gospel is called good news. And it presents good things to come. Peace, pardon, righteousness, redemption, reconciliation, all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. These good things to come. And then it says thereby greater, more perfect tabernacle. If not a tabernacle made with hands, He didn't officiate in that earthly temple or tabernacle. He is the tabernacle. He is the, the tabernacle is where God dwelt. Where the glory, manifestation of the glory of God dwelt over that tabernacle and over that mercy seat. And God said, that's where I'll meet with you. The Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, tabernacled in that body of a man. He's God and man in one blessed person. And He officiates for us as the God-man mediator. This is the perfect tabernacle. He said a body. Look at verse 10, or Hebrews 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then He said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me to do thy will, O God. He tabernacled among us as God in the flesh, representing His people. These spiritual blessings were obtained by a far more greater sacrifice than the animal blood. His own blood. His own blood. He entered in, it says there, with His own blood. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. He obtained eternal redemption for us. We read in Scripture that we're not redeemed with corruptible things. You remember 1 Peter 1:18, silver and gold, works, tradition, but with the precious blood of Christ. He is the spotless Lamb of God that taketh away sin. All those sacrifices under the law, you go back and read Leviticus and Exodus, others, that sacrifice had to be an animal sacrifice that had no blemish. Couldn't have scurvy, couldn't have a broken leg, it couldn't have different diseases. It had to be as far as outward eye could detect. It had to be a perfect lamb, a perfect bullock. Couldn't be something that was deformed or defective. And that pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the spotless Lamb of God that takes away our sin. Now, let's take a look and let's work on verse 12. First thing we see here, the sacrifice by which He entered glory. The sacrifice by which He entered glory. It says there, with His own blood that He offered. Whose blood is this? Huh? What did you say? That's right. He bought us, God bought us with His own blood. Where is that? Acts 20:28, isn't it? God bought us with His own blood. Blood. It's just not that blood was shed. It's whose blood is being shed. His own blood. There never has been or ever will be such a man as this. He's the God-man. God manifest in the flesh. He's God and man in one blessed person. It's who He is that gives merit to His sacrifice. Is that right? That's right. So we see this sacrifice was special and unique. Secondly, this sacrifice was substitutionary. It says there that He entered in. Now, those two words there, for us, You see, those two words are italicized. That means they're added. But it doesn't hurt, because the whole body of Scriptures teach that the Lord Jesus Christ died in the room instead of His covenant people. So it's a sacrifice that's substitutionary and satisfying. The Lord Jesus Christ is not dying because of His own sin. He had none. But my sin became His. That's what we call substitution. He had none, but He's dying for the sin of His covenant people. He was manifested to take away our sin, and in Him is no sin. Now, you know 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Him to be sin for us. God made Him, and those two words there, to be, are really italicized. They're added too. God made Him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The just suffering for the unjust. Find 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. This glorious sacrifice we have in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins. That's a key word. One time. One suffering. One sacrifice for sins. The just for the unjust. Now, He's just in every way. And He's dying for, what does it say there? The unjust. Now, that's His people. In themselves, they're unjust. In Romans 5, 6, it says that Christ died for the... What's the rest of that? Huh? Ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. He suffered for sins one time, the just for the unjust. Now watch this, that He might bring us to God. Can we come any other way other than accepted in the Beloved, justified in Christ Jesus, that He might bring us to God? Being put to death in the flesh, quickened by the Spirit of God. He didn't stay dead, did He? How do we know His sacrifice was accepted of God? Well, God raised Him from the dead, enthroned Him in glory. He bodily ascended to glory, and He occupies the throne right now. And He's coming back one day soon. So we see the sacrifice was substitutionary. It says there in Hebrews 9:12, for us. Something else about this special, unique sacrifice by which He entered glory. And He entered glory as He came as a representative man. But He enters glory also as a representative man. In Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. This sacrifice He brought was personal. Personal. It was a personal sacrifice. Himself. Notice that word there. Himself. By His own blood. His own blood. Our Lord didn't bring the merits of others, the sufferings of others. He brought, or the blood of others. He brought His own blood. Himself. Christ Himself. He poured out, it says in Isaiah 53:12, He poured out His own soul unto death. In 1 Peter 2:24, He bare our sin in His own body on the tree. In 1 John 4:10, He loved us and gave Himself for us. In Hebrews 9:26, here's the word I was looking for. He appeared in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He tread the winepress of the wrath of God alone, Isaiah 63. In the garden, He prayed alone, not my will, but thy will be done. You see, it was a sacrifice of Himself. Now get a hold of this. This sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ offered was unto God. Unto God. You read throughout the Old Testament, it was the blood on the altar that was offered before the Lord. Before the Lord. Now find Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. It wasn't offered unto... You know, when the high priest went into the under that veil, that heavy veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, when he went in there under that veil, who went in there with him? And nobody else. He went in there alone. No one saw outside that tabernacle what was going on. That blood that was put on that mercy seat, did the people outside see that? No. It wasn't offered... unto them, it was offered unto God. It's the blood on the altar before the Lord. Now, Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself, there's that word again, for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling, satisfying savor. The blood atonement of Christ is not left to the sinner's will to give it merit, is it? God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. God is satisfied with His blood atonement and demands the unconditional surrender of His covenant people. Bow to the Son. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. The second point is this. Notice the manner of His entrance in Hebrews 9:12. The manner of His entrance. Those Old Testament priests entered in once every year, but year after year after year after year. It says here that He entered in one time. One time. One sacrifice. He entered in once into the holy place. His atonement was never. The High Testament old priest entered many times, but their atonement was never effectual, only typical. Notice, if you will, verse 3 and 4 in Hebrews 10. But in those sacrifices, there is remembrance again made of sin of every year. Made of sins every year, for it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. They came every year because their atonement only pictured Christ coming. But their atonement never put away sin. It pictured Christ. There's no need for the Lord Jesus Christ to repeat His offering because His blood effectually accomplished atonement for us. No veil now hangs in our way. He says, come boldly unto the throne of grace. You remember reading in Matthew chapter 27 when He cried, it is finished. You remember what happened to that veil that hung in the temple? It was ripped. Salvation's not from the bottom up. It's from the top down. Salvation's of the Lord. God tore that up. Tore that in two. And we have access and entrance and boldness. Look what He says over here. To enter in the holiest by the blood of Christ. Hebrews 10. Look at verse 19. This is good news. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have what? Boldness. Notice that word there in the center reference, if you have the Cambridge, is liberty. We have liberty to enter in. Upon His merit, upon His sacrifice, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's the gospel. And that's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in us. So the manner of His entrance is one time. One time. One sacrifice. By the one offering He perfected forever. Turn back to Hebrews 10. Let's read these verses here. Hebrews 10. Look at verse 9. Then said He, lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. Now, He took it away by way of fulfillment. He's talking here about that law covenant. He took it away that He might establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The manner of His entrance, one time. Now, thirdly, the object of His entrance is this. It says in Hebrews 9:12, having obtained eternal eternal redemption. The object of His entrance having obtained eternal redemption for us. He redeemed us. Redemption here is deliverance by payment. By payment. Our sin debt had to be reckoned with. Had to be paid. And He by Himself, it says over here in Ephesians 1, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. Payment was made, and payment was made with His blood, and it was made to the full. Full payment. Job said, deliver them from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. We read that in the book of Job. Job 33. And when the ransom paid, the captive set free. He paid our debt. And He sets us free. He redeemed us. He delivered us. Now, talking about the object of His entrance. To appear, look what it says there. To appear in the presence of God for us. In verse 24. Christ did not enter into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He went to glory as my representative. And you know what? What's true of the head is true of the body. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say here, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the representative man. What He did, I did. Just the same as in Adam, all died. What Adam did was charged to me. What Christ did is also charged to me. He's my representative. When He came and obeyed the law, I did. When He died, when sin exacted full payment and the wrath of God fell on the substitute, it fell on me, crucified with Christ. When He went in the tomb, I went in with Him. And when He came out, I came out. And when He ascended, we're already ascended and seated in Christ Jesus. That's right. I've not experienced that in my person, but in Christ it's already done. See, with God there is no time. We're creatures of time, but with God it's just the eternal present. He sees all eternity right now. And it's just a now. Seated in Christ Jesus. That's good news. Good news. To perfect us forever. Because He made an end of sins and gave us His blessed righteousness, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That question's asked. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If He put all my sin away, and I'm saying the Scripture said that He did, who can lay anything to my charge? It's God who justified me. Who can condemn me? Christ already died. Yea, rather, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Not even God Himself can charge me with my sin. That's right. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Is that what the Word says? That's right. That's right. He perfected us forever. That's what it says in that verse. In Christ Jesus, we're holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. In His sight. Well, lastly is this. The glory of His entrance. He enters in because the work is done. He said it's finished. He satisfied every requirement that God demanded of Him and us. He honored every precept of God's law and satisfied the penalty of that law in His death. He redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. He entered in once into the holy place having obtained eternal. Now notice this. It's eternal redemption. He saves us with an everlasting salvation. He gives His sheep what kind of life? Eternal life. And then He says, they'll never perish. Neither can any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father and I are one, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, His work is an eternal work. He saves us with an everlasting salvation. His work is eternal because His work is done forever. Three times in these few verses, He uses the word eternal. Notice verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And then again in verse 15, and for this cause he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. We have eternal forgiveness, an eternal inheritance, an eternal redemption, eternal salvation. Why must our salvation be eternal? Because God's eternal. His sacrifice dealt with eternal things, sin, death, hell, and judgment. When the Lord Jesus Christ offered Himself through the eternal Spirit, by that offering He paid our debt forever. Forever. Eternal redemption. Now let me close with this question. Do you have such a high priest? Is that your hope? Your only sole hope of forgiveness before God Almighty who is holy? Is the blood atonement of Jesus Christ? Is that all your righteousness before God? I pray that it is. And if it's not, I pray God would radically change you. Not only change your thinking, but change you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for everything in salvation. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. What kind of redemption? It's eternal. Eternal redemption.